entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 130, and we're recording from Florida, Sarasota, Florida, the Sunshine State, and it's absolutely beautiful. Because of this new setup, we actually got some new mics that we're trying out, some USB mics, which in fact were recommended by the father of podcasts, Leo Laporte. So he recommends the Yeti USB mic. And we're using him for the first time on the French Press Podcast. And the testing, they sound awesome during the testing. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, Leighton's joining us as well from Hillcrest. Leighton, it's good to hear your voice. How's your day going?
It's so nice out here. It's like, well, hold on. Let me look at the temperature on my iPad. 72 degrees.
Wow. It's not much warmer here in Florida.
Oh, and it's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016.
That it is. I'm on vacation now, and then this weekend we're actually going to be hanging out with some friends with Leighton in St. Louis, so I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Not as much as I am.
How much are you looking forward to this trip, Leighton, in St. Louis?
Every time somebody asks me what I'm doing this weekend, all I do is I start with like a kind of like a slow rumble, and I go, I'm going to see my friends this weekend.
Well, it's good to hear how excited you are about it because, I'm glad you're excited. And I'm sure we'll have a good time. I know Kyle, another good friend, has been in Idaho for about 2 months now. So he's finally on his way back home, and he's going to make a pit stop in St. Louis for this weekend getaway.
Yay.
All right. Also on the podcast is Theodore, our producer. And then I'm not sure if it's the first time, but Nicholas is joining us to bring back a segment that we used to do more regularly called State of Trivia. And we kind of stopped doing it. I think the last one we did was episode 109, so about 20 podcasts ago, which would be about half a year ago. So it's been a while since we've done that. So we're bringing that back. Leighton's got a story for us. I've got some tech news for you. And I've also got just a little story from down here in Florida as well. Some of the sights we're seeing and a little bit about being down here in Sarasota. So, Leighton, last week you told us about your trip to Poland. And your time over there. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that? Because we kind of cut it short because we were having some audio problems and we were also having some time problems because it went on longer than normal.
I just rambled on and on about how amazing my trip to Poland was the problem.
So is there anything that you left out that you wanted to tell the listeners?
Well, I mean, I feel like there is something that I should talk about, but it's kind of a sobering thing that we did. So maybe we should, I don't know if you want to wait till the end or do it right now.
If you remember, we can save it for the end.
Okay.
All right. So we'll save it for the end. Just today, I'll tell you a little bit about what we've been seeing here in Sarasota. Just today, we were driving, when we're here in Florida, our family does a lot of bicycling. Instead of driving in automobiles, we like to get places by biking when at all possible. And
why is that?
Partly because a lot of the places we go to are nearby, so places to eat. There's several places that you can bike to. There's a nice park that is within walking or biking distance, and it's fun. It's fun to do, to get exercise, get outside, breathe in fresh Florida air, and also get some exercise at the same time. So it's fun to do, and it is convenient. In Florida, if you've never been down here, one of the most popular forms of transportation is the three-wheeled bicycle or tricycle. The natives call it three-wheelers, but it is a bicycle Or
the
like
natives.
Or a big tricycle. So everyone's seen little tricycles for toddlers. Well, this is a tricycle for adults. And we were biking from eating lunch. We were biking back to the house. And, I mean, the roads aren't very busy. But it's busy. It's busy enough. It's not so busy that you can drive side by side. And then when there is a car coming from behind you, someone usually sees it and says, "Hey, there's a car coming, get over," and then we go into single file mode. Well, we were biking along, Nicholas and I were in the front, Theodore and my dad were behind us. I guess I didn't mention who all was down here. My brothers, who are still in school, have spring break, and so that's why we came down. So the two boys, my two brothers, and then my dad were down here for the first time I think we've ever done a all-guys family trip. So... that's a first, and it's been fun. But anyway, nice. we're biking down back home, and Theodore yells out, "Hey, there's a car coming!" And so we get into single file mode, and then before this car, or just as it passes, he yells, "Hey, there's another car coming!" And so we stay in our single file mode, and all of a sudden, I hear this high pitched whirring sound, like a buzzing or a whirring, and past us flies not a car, but a motorized tricycle that is going about as fast as the car was. I mean, it was going, the speed limit is 30 miles an hour there, and it was going over 20 miles per hour. And it was an Amish lady on a three-wheeler flying past us. And it was a sight to behold. I told Nicholas, chase after her to find out exactly how fast it's going, but it was going fast enough that I don't think he could have caught her, and he was on a traditional bicycle.
Wait, Ruben, why didn't you just, like, chase after her yourself?
Well, there's no way I could have caught her. I was on a tricycle, a pedal tricycle, and there's no way I could have caught up to her. I don't think she would have heard me, even if I would have yelled at her and said, "Lady!" And she wouldn't have known what I wanted anyway, so she probably wouldn't have stopped.
So you're saying she was traveling faster than the speed of sound because you could have yelled at her and she wouldn't have heard it because your sound waves wouldn't have caught up in time.
She wasn't going that fast, but you know when you stick your head out of a car window that's going at a decent speed, how you hear that kind of like that flopping in your ear?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just because of that, I don't think she could have heard me.
Theodore, blow into the microphone. That's what it sounds like.
Exactly.
who needs sound effects when you just use our mouths? That's great.
She made an impressive... Right after she passed us, the road kind of splits into a Y, and I didn't go back and look at this, but just kind of from memory and best calculations, it's probably about a 45 degree turn that she turned off of soon after she passed us, and it was fast enough that I was concerned that she might tip over and go on two wheels.
Ooh.
Like, that's how fast she was going.
So you think like a good like 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm confident to say it wasn't faster than 27, 28 miles per hour, but definitely faster than 20 miles per hour.
That's clipping.
It is.
That's clipping.
And guess what? She wasn't even wearing a helmet.
What?
I know.
Man, she's more liberal than you, or libertarian than you, because she doesn't wear a helmet when she's going 27 miles an hour.
True. All right, so that's probably the most exciting sighting that I've seen since being down here. Theodore, can you think of anything else that would be interesting or something that stood out?
That alligator in the neighbor's pond.
Okay, that is a good point. There is this pond down here that was infested with all sorts of dangerous reptilia. I'm thinking mostly snakes. It always used to be covered kind of with a crust or a slime and have a whole bunch of weeds around it. But this year when we got down here, it's been cleaned up. In fact, the property or the house that is beside it actually has a ladder or steps that go into the water. So it looks like people are actually going into this snake infested pond, and it is cleaned up. However, at the center of this pond, okay, now we've seen snakes on the road, which goes right beside this pond, but never actually seen anything dangerous in the water itself, but just assumed that it's definitely there. But now there is, at the center of this pond, it looks like, it looks kind of like a golf green in the center of this pond, probably about 4 to 6 feet in diameter. You think it's smaller than that?
No, I was just reminding you of the golfing story we need to tell then, too.
Oh, yeah. More has been happening than I remember. But anyway, at the center of this, kind of like this island, but it's not dirt island, it's like a man-made island. There's several posts with horizontal, like a post with horizontal pegs, and birds are sitting on there. And on the main part of it itself, on this 4 to 6 foot green, there's turtles on there, and also an alligator.
Ah. Are you sure it's not a crocodile?
Yes, I'm sure it's an alligator.
Dude, those are a lot bigger.
Well, they all start off small at some time. And this one's probably about 4 feet long, 3 to 4 feet long. At least it's 4 feet long. What's that?
Ruben, I have a French press challenge for you.
Challenge me.
Okay. In honor of the French press, I think that it would be really good if you would do a Steve Irwin-esque, investigation of this alligator. Like, really taunt it, try to rile it up a little bit, get close to it, and, poke it with a stick.
It's so far out, I'd have to swim. The pond itself is easily 150 feet across, easily, and this is at the center of it, so it would require a lot of swimming, in which I still think it's infected with snakes.
See, one problem with trying to get close to it is there's a little sandy area, and it was poking its head out probably like a foot away from the shore, and so my dad wanted to get a picture, and he walked up to it probably just like 20 feet, and then he went under the water. So he's way too scared to like be able to poke it with a stick.
Okay, well, Theodore, do you have your drone down there?
No, sadly I don't.
What?
I know, I told him to bring it down.
Dude, there are so many applications for drones down there. Shots along the beach, alligators in the pond.
That would be cool, but I'm pretty sure it's the neighbor's pond, and I don't want to make him mad. I don't think it's public property.
Okay. Well, do they own the air above the pond? How far above the pond do you actually own? No, that's fine. That's great. Okay, what's the golfing story?
All right, this is a prank, and I'll let Theodore say it, but this is one of the cleanest, funnest pranks that you can do if you have a loud horn in your truck. Theodore, go ahead and take it away.
Okay, I forget when this was, earlier this week, maybe Monday or Tuesday, I'm not sure. We went to a restaurant that we went on a road. I don't think we've ever been on the road before, but there's a big golf course beside this road. And I got an air horn on my truck, so it's pretty loud. And we were going past, and I was telling the other guys that we should honk right before the people are ready to take their shot. And so we went past it the first time, and we almost got someone, but they were mostly putters, so we couldn't find anyone to honk at. And then on the way home, we were going past, going like 5 under the speed limit to give ample time for someone to wind up.
Nice.
And we come past this one guy, and he's just ready to swing. He goes in his back swing, and then I honk really loud. And he looks at us, and he is so mad. He just like glares at us. Oh, we laughed so hard.
This is something I hate about golfers. They think this game... Like, golfers would be, across the board, if anyone golfs, would be very upset that anyone would do this. Just because, I don't know why, it's like an unspoken rule that golfers need silence in order to golf, and it's the only sport like that. I mean, any other sport, you can yell as loud as you want to, and it's just part of the game. But golfers, for some reason, get upset if you try to distract them while they're swinging their club.
Okay, now wait. I don't think it's the only game, the only sport where the individual is expecting silence.
Okay.
When he's playing, I think like
there might be other games, but if you're playing basketball at a park, and golfing is no more serious than playing basketball at a park. It's not like you're in the Grand Open or whatever one of these golf tournaments are. I mean, you're just playing golf because you're a guy who's a middle-aged man who has some extra time on his hands. And so it's no different than playing basketball at the park. If you drive past a park while someone's getting ready to shoot a free throw and honk, they wouldn't be upset at you. You just have to, your nerves have to be calm, and you need to be able to make that shot no matter what the outside circumstances are.
Yeah, kind of. But like, if I were playing pool, and I was ready to hit the cue ball, like, and I come back for the wind up, and I'm about to hit it, and someone would yell right when I was doing the forward thrust, I would be angry. I would be like, "What is this? What do you think you're doing? What? This is nonsense."
Well,
especially if you were my opponent.
If you were the opponent, obviously you wouldn't want to do that because the opponent's going to do the same thing to you as well.
Yeah.
But so imagine that two golfers are golfing, and right when the one is ready to knock it off the tee, there is and I know golfers usually don't play in the rain, but let's just say there's a thunderstorm coming up, and right on his backswing, there's a flash of lightning and a loud crack of thunder. Does he shake his fist at God and complain and say, "Oh, that wasn't fair"?
Yes.
He probably would, because golfers are soft.
They're soft. Well, yeah, I agree with you there. Golfers are soft, for sure. But, I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, we can move on to the next topic.
But that was great, though. I mean, the fact that you messed him up and he was just glaring at you guys. I love that.
All right, I still got some tech news to get to. Layton, you've been taking the back seat, as it were, in this podcast, which is abnormal. So tell us a little bit. You said you had a story you wanted to share.
Yes. Okay, so we went to Poland, obviously, and we get back, and there is a man who calls Leonard, and is like, "Hey," and the way I understood it, he called Leonard and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting a mission there in Poland." He's like, "Who could I talk to from your group?" And then Leonard gives him my number. Now, this man is, okay, when Leonard told me that he gave him my number, I was like, what am I going to tell him? I was only there for 2 weeks. Like, what could I possibly know about Poland that he already doesn't know if he's planning on starting a mission there? There's no way. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but again, it goes to show the amount of trust that Leonard has in your, there's a word for it, and I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Intel?
Just the ability to observe something and to give a accurate and honest report.
Oh, okay.
There's a word for it. I can't quite... If I think of it later, I'll let you know, but go ahead.
Yeah, I thought of it, Ruben. It's called Intel.
No, there's some other word.
Okay.
Trust me, I know all the best words, and that's not the one.
That's a good one, though. Anyways, I'm just like, what could this guy possibly want? Whatever. And so, like, the next day, he calls me. He's like, "Hello, yes, you know, I was, you know, just wanting to ask you a few questions about Poland and ra-da-da-da-da."
You should have told him, "Well, just listen to the French press." My report's in there.
Oh, my word. Ay, ay, ay. Well, sadly, I don't think there's very much information there that you could use if you were trying to start a mission there. I mean, people come here for entertainment and encouragement, which, I mean, I hope, you know, if they are coming here also, you know, to start missions in foreign countries, you know, that's great. But I don't think that's really the purpose of it. Anyways, so the next day, you know, he calls me. And he's like, yeah, could I meet with you after work? Because I have some questions for you. I'm like, oh, dear. I don't know about this. But, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, I can call you. Or I can meet with you after work. So go forward another 24 hours. And we meet. He meets me at the Hillcrest lobby, right in the office area there. And this is a Haldeman Mennonite.
Okay.
Right? Or, like, yeah. And he's got, like, a big, long beard. And his hair is combed in such a way that, you know, he's a man who thinks on things. He's a thinking man.
Because of his hairstyle, you could see that he was a thinker.
He was an observer.
Okay. More okay, an observer. Okay.
And just a man who chews. He definitely chews more with his mind than with his mouth.
So what was his haircut that made you decide that?
It was a kind of thin and wispy, but still combed and well kept.
So from what you're saying, this could be a Donald Trump hairstyle.
Yes, but not the heinous color. And he didn't have like the grimace on his face 24/7, like, you know, the constant frown, constant angry resting face.
I'm familiar.
That Donald Trump has.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So, anyways, so we meet in the lobby, and he's like, you know, and he has a kind of a quiet voice, a reflective voice. Do you know what I mean by reflective?
Yeah, like thoughtful.
Yes. It's like, hey, so where would you like to meet? Or, you know, where would you like to talk? You know, someplace, you know, kind of quiet. And I said, I guess we go down on first of the girls' dorm. He's like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine. Yes, let us go. And so he's a very tall man. He's wearing boots, and he has a tiny little red backpack. So we go down on first, and he starts talking. He asks me questions, like, you know, so what was your general impression of Poland? And what do you think... where all were you there, and how many people were at the school that you were at, and what was the church like, and just different things. And I tell him, I try to inform him as best I could, because, you know, I have good intel. And he takes everything, like, quite well. And, like, me and him definitely clash, not only in dress, but also in personality. You know, I'm just kind of, like, loud and just, like, I'm speaking my mind, and he's just absorbing it all, you know. He's just taking it all in and just chewing it in his mind. But at the end of it all, you know, here I thought, you know, he's thinking about starting a mission there. He tells me, no, he's thinking about... being a teacher there. He's thinking about moving his family there. And I was like, whoa.
And to be a teacher at the Gateway to English School.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's thinking about it, whatever. Which, I mean, don't go around, like, and people that are listening to this, they'll be like, hey, Gateway to English is getting a new teacher. And just like, yeah, did you hear about it? Yeah, Haldeman. I don't know, like, I mean, he's just thinking about it. So it's, you know, I don't want to, like, force his hand or anything. So I'm also not going to give his name. But anyway, because I got a good intel. after all that, you know, I find out, you know, he's thinking about teaching. And I was just like, whoa. You know, what I tell him, what I tell him about Poland could, like, be the deciding factor, which, I mean, it definitely probably isn't, but it could be the deciding factor in whether or not he moves his whole family to Poland. So I just want to say in advance, sorry, kids.
You're saying sorry to his kids.
Yes. he was a cool dude. And it turned out, you know, that he took everything very well. But it was just kind of nerve-wracking, you know, like what all he wanted to know and what all he was basing, with the kind of decisions that he was basing off my intel. But that was cool. It was really cool. He's a cool dude.
All right. That is interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Leighton. You had said you had another story for us, but you weren't sure if you could tell us right at this time.
Yeah. Okay. So while we were also in Poland, one of the last places, Auschwitz concentration camp.
All right, and Leighton, hey, we are having some audio difficulty, so let's try that over one more time.
Okay. While we were over there in Poland, one of the last places we visited was Auschwitz concentration camp. And it was, we spent, I think, around 4 hours there. And it was a very sobering experience. Ruben, do you know anything about Auschwitz?
I mean, it's one of the death camps from the Nazis is about all I know. I think it was the biggest one, but I don't know more than that.
Yes. I want you to guess how many Jews were killed there.
Can you tell me a total of how many Jews were killed in World War II?
A total.
6 million.
Is it 6 million? I was thinking 5, but it could be 6.
Okay, so I'm going to say 500,000.
Okay. I want you to double that number.
1 million.
Actually, a little over one. It's 1.1 million just Jews.
Wow.
And then there were several hundreds of thousands of, like, other people, like, not Jews, but, like, gypsies and just citizens of other countries that were killed there. But it was sick how mechanical it was, like how just it was such a routine for them, for the Nazis. Like they had it, they had a factory there that like within a couple miles of the concentration camp or the death camp. Yeah, death camp is a better word for it. That would produce all of the gas that they would use, the poison gas that they would use. And they knew exactly, like, they would kill roughly 1,400 people a day.
Wow.
And they knew exactly, like, how much poison to use to kill these 1,400 people. They had everything written out to a T, exactly how the camp operated, how many people came through. They documented everything. And it was all just, to them, it was just a recipe. That's all it was.
So, Leighton, is this a museum now, or is it laid out just how the camp was laid out, you know, back in World War II, back in that time?
You take a tour of the camp. You walk through some of the different buildings, and there's actually, I think it was made up of three different camps. There was Auschwitz I, Auschwitz II, and Auschwitz III. Ugh. Auschwitz I was mainly like almost like an office area where they did most of their paperwork and stuff, and just kind of the administrative branch of it. And then Auschwitz II was roughly 30 times the size of Auschwitz I, and the second camp was where they kept their massive gas chambers, and it was also the place where they shipped, like, it was where the main railroad that they used to bring people in the train cars would come into. They called the big main entrance the Death Gate. And everybody would file out. Everybody would just unload out of these train cars, and they got everybody into a single file line. And there was a main doctor there, who he decided whether he would keep the whoever it was standing in front of him, whether they keep him alive or kill them off right away, like go straight off to the gas chambers, or keep them around for a couple months to get some work out of them.
Wow, I can honestly, I can't imagine. Yeah, the feeling it would be to be on one of those trains and just the total hopelessness.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that most of the people that went through there, they did. I mean, pretty much everyone didn't know what was there actually, what was going on at the camps, and so I think the Jews, but most of the people that went through there, they thought that they were just being relocated to start a new life somewhere. I don't think they knew that, you know, this is the place where they're going to die.
Okay.
It was just, it's just incredibly heartless, and it was a very, yeah, it was just crazy. The hardest part for me, at least, was they have this one room. After they go through the gas chamber, the few people that they kept to work, the few prisoners that they kept to work at the camp, would go through, and they would actually make the prisoners do all the body management, like the managing of the dead bodies, and collect all the jewelry that they may have kept on. And also, they would pull the teeth, and also shave the hair, shave everyone's hair.
What was the teeth used for?
I don't actually know what the teeth were used for. I think they pulled the teeth. I'm pretty sure. Maybe not.
I know they would for sure pull the gold and silver teeth that people had.
Maybe that's what
it was.
And then
melt it down.
Yeah. The hair they would use for uniforms for the Nazis. Mm, I mean, wow. They didn't let anything go to waste. Anyways, they have a room that's just full of hair, of just different people's hair.
You mean still just, today?
Piles of human hair, and that was just the hardest part. Because it was, you know, it was a part of someone. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a shoe. It's not just a briefcase. It's not just an article of clothing. You know, it was a part of someone.
Yeah.
That room's in most places you were allowed to take pictures, but that's one of a couple rooms that they just say out of respect they don't want anybody to take pictures, which is understandable. But yeah, that was kind of the hardest part.
Layton, have you been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you see a lot of pictures in there, and you read a lot of the different stuff, but, I mean, I'm sure it was still nothing compared to actually being in one of those camps.
Yeah. Well, it's just the thought that, you know, there were millions of people that came through here that just died.
Yeah.
So it was very sobering, and you can walk along the tracks and see exactly where they did the the choosing of who lived and who died. And they have a single train car there, kind of as a memorial, I think, just still along the tracks, and it had flowers on it. Anyways, I just thought that's something I should mention.
Yeah, it's always good. I mean, history, you can read about history and you can hear it passed down from generation to generation, but to actually go back and visit one of the places that, you know, where something like significant like that happened, I think it's good that it's still there and it's not bulldozed over and destroyed, because you don't want people to forget what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right. One interesting thing about the Polish school system is that they require, at a certain age, they require all school kids to go through and visit those camps on a field trip.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely the people over there are very deliberate, and they want to make sure that it is never forgotten what happened so that it never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, thank you, Layton, for sharing that. I did forget that we do have we're bringing back State of Trivia, and that's where Nicholas's part comes in. So Nicholas has five states for us. Five states. He's going to read off the states alphabetically. And then for you guys, if you want to play at home, probably the best way to do it is just to grab a piece of paper, write down these states as he reads them off, and then he's also going to read off five slogans that match one of these states. And then we're going to go around and see who wins this game of State of Trivia. So, Nicholas, what are our five states?
All right. our five states today are Minnesota, Mississippi.
Wait. you're going way too fast, Nicholas. Slow down. I'm making a new note. Where's the new button?
It's in the corner, I think. Bottom right.
Bottom right. I'm on the iPad version of notes.
Oh, I have no idea then.
All right. Okay.
The first one is Minnesota.
Minnesota. How do you even spell that?
M-I.
I just abbreviated it. M-I-N-N.
Okay, M-I-N-N. Got it. All right, Minnesota. Okay.
Number two is Mississippi.
All right, Mississippi.
Number three is Missouri.
Missouri. All right.
And then number four is Montana.
Montana. All right.
And then number five is Nebraska.
All right. So we got our five states. So now Nicholas is going to read off five slogans, in mixed up order, and then we'll match those slogans with what state we think it is. So Nicholas, read off the first slogan.
All right. The first slogan is Big Sky County.
What?
Big Sky County.
But it's a state.
All right, what's the next one?
I think it's country, actually. I can't read my writing. I think R is in front of the Y. I think it's country.
Well, read off the rest of them, and then we'll pause it. Then when we go back through the second time to give our answers, then you can double-check that.
All right, the second one is Land of 10,000 Lakes.
All right, what's the next one?
The Good Life.
The Good Life?
All right, what's the next one?
Where the River Runs. It sounds like a child's movie, like Where the River Runs.
All right, what's the next one?
Feels Like Coming Home.
Feels Like Coming Home?
Yep.
Okay, did you have a chance, Nicholas, to double-check what the first one was, Big Sky Country or County?
Let me hurry check it.
All right, so the way this game works is that we'll go through the states alphabetically now, starting with Minnesota, and then we'll each take turns. Theodore's playing, and myself and Layton, and then we'll each take turns going first, giving our what we think it is, and then maybe if you want to, a little reason about why you think it is this, and then Nicholas will tell us the correct answer, and then each one of us will mark if we got the answer right or wrong, and then at the end we'll tally it up and see who the winner is.
All right, I did look back, and it is actually country.
Okay, Big Sky Country for the first one. All right,
hold on, I gotta change my answer. No, I'm kidding. You can go.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay, we're not quite ready yet.
Nicholas, while he's getting ready, Nicholas, I must compliment you. I'm impressed that you were able to stay quiet for this long, not saying anything, until it was finally time for you to fulfill your role.
It was hard for me because I wanted to say something about the, I think it was the pond.
Okay, no, wait, don't get too confident. I just gave you a compliment.
I hate to cut you off, but okay, we're ready to go now. All right, so, Nicholas, pick out someone to go first to give their answer for the first state.
I'll pick you, Ruben, to go with the first state.
All right. Minnesota is the only one I'm really confident of, and that is Land of 10,000 Lakes. And I know what that one is because I've heard it before and I remembered.
Okay. That's good.
Do you want me to, like, go around and ask?
Yeah. Ask Theodore, then ask Layton.
I did 10,000 Lakes also.
Okay, Layton.
I also did 10,000 Lakes.
All right, that is correct. It is 10,000 Lakes.
Yes.
All right, number two. Theodore, what did you have for Mississippi?
Where the River Runs.
All right, Ruben, what did you have?
I had, from Mississippi, I have The Good Life.
All right. Layton, what did you have, Layton?
I have Where the River Runs.
All right, that is correct, Where the River Runs.
See, I figured that was a trick question because the Mississippi is also in Missouri. And so I thought maybe it was a trick question.
It's called the Mississippi.
Yeah, I know, but...
Illinois, Where the River Runs. Oh.
All right, what's next?
Number three is Missouri. Layton, what do you have?
I just put it The Good Life. And... because you're in misery.
All right, for me, this is where I put Where the River Runs.
I have Feels Like Coming Home.
That is correct. Theodore had it correct.
Wow. Oh! Theodore is 3 for 3 so far.
Well, this is the last time he gets to play.
Okay, number four is Montana. Ruben, what'd you have?
I have Big Sky Country. It's a big state out west, and there's a lot of sky out there.
All right. Theater, what'd you have?
The same. Montana for Big Sky Country.
All right. Layton?
I have Feels Like Coming Home for Montana.
That's incorrect. It's actually the Big Sky Country.
Oh, well, crud. I know that I got one other one wrong, too.
All right, number five, Nebraska. Layton, what'd you get?
Nebraska is the Big Sky Country.
You are wrong.
All right, Theodore, what'd you have?
The Good Life.
Okay, Ruben?
Feels Like Home.
It is actually The Good Life, so Theodore is correct.
The Good Life is not in Nebraska.
I know. When I was doing this, I was like, "These are not true at all." But all right. Well, Theodore, what is your score?
4 out of 4.
It's actually 5.
5.
Well, Theodore, I might not know my state slogans, but at least I know my numbers.
Oh, my. Missed one there. I got 5 out of 5. Never mind.
All right, Layton, what's your score?
I think I got 2 out of 5.
Okay, Ruben?
Yep, that's what I've... 2 out of 5.
All right, well, you guys tied, and Theodore had the lead most of the way, and he won.
All right, thank you, Nicholas, for doing this segment with us, and we'll probably do it on a more regular basis, maybe. Every few episodes, we'll have a trivia game, and we'll continue out the states, and then after that, we'll move on to some other form of trivia as well.
All 49 of them?
No, just 4 out of 4 of them.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. There is some tech news I did want to get to as well. The iPad Air 2 has been out there, It hasn't been updated for about 2 years. And it finally did get updated yesterday. It's now called the iPad Pro. Here's the thing. There had been an iPad Pro, and it was the larger iPad, the 10 or 11-inch iPad, I think it's almost 12 inch maybe, 11 or 12 inch iPad. But now there's two sizes for the iPad Pro, and it is the same size as what the iPad Air 2 was. And so now there is no longer going to be an iPad Air 2. It's just going to be the iPad Pro, and you either get the larger one or the small one.
Okay, wait. I am confused.
Well, I know. It is confusing.
Why don't they just call it the iPad 3, the iPad Air 3? Why not, Ruben? What's going on?
Well, okay. On their laptop lines, Apple, they kind of had the same problem. They had the MacBook Pro, which was like more the high-powered ones that had better graphics. They had the iPad Air, which was thinner and lighter.
You mean MacBook Air?
Sorry, the MacBook Air. And then maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, they came out with the MacBook, and it was actually thinner and lighter than the MacBook Air. And the MacBook Air is most likely going to be eliminated from their product line, and it's just going to be the MacBook and the MacBook Pro. So I think it's a similar thing over on the iPad size. So the iPad Pro is the higher powered one. It comes with the large screen or the small screen, and then they still have the iPad Mini, which I don't know if they released a new one of those or not. The current one is iPad Mini 4, and I'm not sure if that got a refresh or not.
Well, why not just call it the iPad Pro? Keep the iPad Air line, keep that, and then have the iPad Pro, which is the bigger one, and then this higher powered iPad Pro can be called the iPad Pro Mini. That's not confusing at all.
So pretty much it looks like they're getting rid of the Air branding in their products.
Okay. So that means the only thing that's going to be left is either a Pro, two different sizes of the iPad Pro, and the iPad Mini.
Yeah, and one other thing that the iPad Pro does that the iPad Air 2 didn't and the iPad Minis don't is the Force Touch, or I'm not sure what they call it, but so you can use a pencil to write on it.
Okay, stylus.
The stylus, yeah.
Okay.
And I know they could just add that feature and still call it the iPad Air, but they didn't.
That's fine.
They didn't. So
it just.
I'm not here to tell you why. I'm just here to tell you what.
Okay. Well, I just want to explain why I'm confused.
I agree. It is confusing.
This new iPad Pro, this smaller iPad Pro, if it's the exact same dimensions, just beefed up. A beefed up version of the iPad Air 2. Why couldn't it just be called the iPad Air 3? Ruben,
I'm not here to answer that question, Layton.
Help me. All right. I guess the question will just be lost in the ether. But I'm sure it's what a lot of people are asking.
I'm sure. But okay. Basically, if you had an iPad Air 2 or iPad Air, now is a great time to upgrade and get the new one, which is the iPad Pro, but the smaller sized one. So,
aka the iPad Air 3.
See,
sure.
This is the problem with Apple. Ever since Steve Jobs has died, they've been adding all these like different spin-offs off of products they have. See, it used to be like iPod, iPhone, MacBook, and iPad. And now they have all these different sizes and colors and way too many options, and I think that's going to be Apple's downfall, because it used to be simplicity, and now it's just lowering their standards to that of, like, Android.
Well,
it's still nowhere near to the variation of what Android is, because Android is made by a handful of different manufacturers, and Apple still has complete control from the software to the hardware. And just to clarify, the small one, the small iPad Pro, a.k.a. the iPad Air 3, is the 10-inch model, or 9.7 to be exact, and the larger one is the 13-inch, or 12.9.
Ugh. Well, before you know it, they're going to have a name similar to what Samsung has, and that is this is the new Galaxy Note S7 Edge Plus. Like, what? Ugh. That is the name of their product, I think. Like, that's the new phone that they have.
Say that again. What is it called again?
Okay, it might not be the Note, but it's the Galaxy S7 Edge Plus. Oh. Am I right?
Galaxy S7 Edge Plus. Let's see.
Unless they only have the Galaxy S7 Edge.
I think you're right. It's showing up anyway on the search result as, Galaxy S7 Edge.
Plus.
Plus.
There's a plus to it.
I'm not so sure about the plus. I don't think the plus is in there.
All
right. Either way, it's a mouthful. Leighton, anything else before we hang up the podcast?
Wait, I have my.
That's right.
Where is it from?
Sorry, Theodore. I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay.
To the new iPad. I think
Leighton, you cut out there.
Are we going to what? New iPhone. What is it? The iPhone SE.
That was also announced. The iPhone SE. Is that what you were asking about?
Yes.
And what was your question with that?
I mean, you just tell us about it, Ruben.
Oh.
You're talking about the iPad.
Well, it's not an exciting phone. I mean, it's pretty much the stripped down or the not quite as powerful iPhone 6.
Well, the new iPad Pro Mini isn't that exciting either. It would be more exciting if they would have just called the iPad Air 3. That I can get pumped up.
All right, your complaint is noted. Noted. I mean, it, of course, doesn't matter, but it is noted. And we're going to move on to. I know what it means, but where did it come from?
Yes, go, Theodore.
Okay, have you guys ever heard of the term doozy? As in, like, oh, I don't know, something happens. Let's say it's a test at school, and you're like, whew. Really hard test, and you're like, man, that test was a doozy. Have you ever heard that before?
I have, like, yes.
You come walking out of a stall, and you're like, boy, I just dropped a doozy.
Sure.
Are you sure you want that on the podcast?
I know. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, it actually comes from, have you ever heard of the car Duesenberg?
Yes.
Okay, that was a car made, I would say, I'm not sure the exact years, probably around the 30s, 40s, 50s, I don't know, but it was a luxury sports car, and it was like a really hot car. Think of like Ferrari or Bugatti of its day, and people used to say, oh, that's a doozy, because they were talking about the Duesenberg and how cool that was, and they would call other stuff that.
Very cool, very good. So next time you say that's a real doozy, I mean, it should be something glorious or magnificent.
Exactly.
Leighton, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
All right, Theodore, thank you for that. Nicholas, thank you for joining us for this episode. And Leighton, it was good to hear your voice again, and I'm looking forward to hanging out this weekend with you too.
You too, Ruben.
All right, have a good one. Stay safe, and see you in a few days.